chapter 4. Therefore, in every place where this decree arrived, a feast at public expense was arranged for the nations with shouts and gladness. For the inveterate enmity that had long ago been in their minds was now made evident and outspoken. But among the Judeans, there was incessant mourning, lamentation, and tearful cries. Everywhere, their hearts were burning, and they groaned because of the unexpected destruction that had suddenly been decreed for them. What district or city, or what habitable place at all, or what streets were not filled with mourning and wailing for them? The generals in several cities sent them off, all together, with such a hard and ruthless spirit, that at the sight of their unusual punishments, even some of their enemies, perceiving the common object of pity before their eyes, reflected on the uncertainty of life and shed tears at the most miserable expulsion of these people. For a multitude of gray-headed old men, sluggish and bent with age, was being led away, forced to march at a swift pace by the violence with which they were driven in such a shameful manner. And young women, who had just entered the bridal chamber to share married life, exchanged joy for wailing, their myrrh-perfumed hair sprinkled with ashes, and were carried away, unveiled, altogether raising a lament instead of a wedding song, as they were torn by the harsh treatment of the heathen. In bonds and in public view, they were violently dragged along as far as the place of embarkation. Their husbands, in the prime of youth, their necks encircled with ropes instead of garlands, spent the remaining days of their marriage festival in lamentations instead of good cheer and youthful revelry, seeing the netherworld already lying at their feet. They were brought on board, like wild animals, driven under the constraint of iron bonds. Some were fastened by the neck to the benches of the boats. Others had their feet secured by unbreakable fetters. And in addition, they were confined under a solid deck, so that with their eyes in total darkness, they would undergo treatment befitting traitors during the whole voyage. When these people had been brought to a place called Skidia, and the voyage was concluded as the king had decreed, he commanded that they should be enclosed in the hippodrome. This building had been built with a monstrous perimeter wall in front of the city, and it was well suited to make them an obvious spectacle to everyone coming back into the city and to those going out to sojourn in the country, so that they could neither communicate with the king's forces nor in any way claim to be inside the circuit of the city. And when this had happened, the king, hearing that the Judeans' compatriots from the city frequently went out in secret to bitterly lament the ignoble misfortune of their kindred, ordered, in his rage, that these people be dealt with in precisely the same fashion as the others, not omitting any detail of their punishment. The entire race was to be registered individually, not for the hard labor that has been briefly mentioned before, but to be tortured with outrages that he had ordered, and at the end, to be destroyed in the space of a single day. Therefore, the registration of these people was conducted with bitter haste and zealous intensity from the rising of the sun until its setting, coming to an end after 40 days, but still uncompleted. The king was greatly and continually filled with joy, organizing feasts in honor of all his idols, with a mind alienated from truth and with a profane mouth, praising speechless things that are not even able to communicate or to come to one's help, and uttering improper words against the greatest God. But after the previously mentioned interval of time, the scribes declared to the king that they were no longer able to take the census of the Judeans because of their immense number, though most of them were still in the country, some still residing in their homes, and some at the place. The task was impossible for all the generals in Egypt. After he had threatened them severely, charging that they had been bribed to contrive a means of escape, he was clearly convinced about the matter when they said and proved that both the paper and the pens they used for writing had already given out. But this was an act of the invincible providence of him who was aiding the Judeans from heaven.